I'm thrilled to get an opportunity to talk on scripture memory. This happens to have been my greatest failure, and I know you haven't had any problems that I haven't already had, and probably you'll never have as many problems as I have had in scripture memory. I think it took me 3.5 years to get through the topical memory system, which is supposed to take 9 months, you see. So, also, I believe scripture memory is the thing that has been the greatest blessing to me personally. And so I'm looking forward to our time discussing this. Let's just bow for prayer and ask the Lord to direct us in this time. Father, we're reminded that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Without you, we can do nothing. And as we discuss this subject, we pray that you will have control of our minds, that you will direct us, use those verses that you'd like to speak to our hearts with. And so we commit ourselves to you for this hour in the name of Christ. Amen. I thought this morning we would talk about a little bit about discipline, what we mean by discipline, then talk about three values of scripture memory briefly. Its value in meditation, its value in witnessing and giving us boldness, and its value as far as giving us victory in our own Christian life. But before I speak, there are a few things I'd like to say before we cover those. I thought you would like to know about how the topical memory system came into being. What is the topical memory system, or the TMS? And it's rather interesting and would perhaps be of value to you. In about 1928 or 29, Dawson Trotman came up with the first scripture memory aids that there were. This was 85 verses, a stack of 85 verses. And so this was given out. And in order to get these 85 verses, you had to sign a pledge that you would memorize them. Well, you had to sign in O-R-H positive, you know. But after a while, Doss thought, well, I wonder how these people are doing. So he took a sample of 100 people, and out of the 100 people, he found only 3 who had done 20% of the verses. He had only found 1 who had done all 85, even though they had signed the pledge. So later in 1929, I thought, well, the secret isn't to type or to print up these verses, but it's to give blank verses. And so while Dawson was at Biola, well, they'd pass out several blank cards and you put on the verses you wanted. Well, only about 12% of these would follow through. And so wondered if they could get people to memorize scripture. Then the rough draft of the topical memory system came out. That was 105 verses, the whole stack, all at once. And it was so discouraging to people to have 105 verses. It was the results was very poor. Then later on, they came out with a 49-verse package deal. See, 105 was too many, so cut it down. 49, and there were 6 verses in the B rations, or the beginning with Christ packet. So it kept swinging from one side of the pendulum to the other, trying to figure out what would work. In 1943, the first complete topical memory system with the B rations, or beginning with Christ, the way we know them now, came into existence. All of the navigator work then was by key man. You know, there's one key man on the ship. And so the navigators would ship all these memory materials, and this key man would sort of look down his nose and, are you ready to memorize scripture? And if he passed the test, well, then the key man would give him the verses and he could do the verses. In 1957, however, they were discovering that most of these people were scattered all across the United States out of the service. And so it became a correspondence course in 1947 and then was revised in 57. Here's a typical unit that's sent out, a guidebook now with a cartoon character in it, so that he can communicate what he has to say. And each time you get a unit, several verses, not 105 to begin with, but there are 12. This is the second pack right after beginning with Christ packet and going on with Christ packet. I thought you'd be interested in hearing how that came about. I believe every discussion group leader has a brochure on the current memory system. Now that we've talked about that, let's get into the meat of it. Discipline. Someone has said that discipline without desire is drudgery. This is certainly true in Scripture memory. There must be a desire in our heart, whether it's Bible study, quiet time, there must be the desire, or the disciplined life becomes true drudgery. A man has said this, what we hope ever to do with ease, we must first do with diligence. It isn't simple to start memorizing Scripture. It does take some discipline, but it becomes easier as we get the know-how. William Carey attributed his success as a Christian, not for his brilliance, but he said, I'm a plodder. I'm a plodder. Confucius said, how do you take a 1,000-mile trip? Start with the first step. How do you memorize 1,000 verses? You start with one. So there is an element of discipline involved. And so we must have a definite desire. And so we're going to talk about three reasons why we should memorize Scripture. Let's talk about its value in meditation. Psalms 1, verses 2 and 3, its value in giving real nourishment to our life as we meditate on it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And what will happen? He will bring forth his fruit in his own season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. The psalmist has said, through meditation, the Christian becomes nourished. There's a deep soul nourishment through meditating on the Word of God. And as a verse is memorized, it's gone over and over. It's meditated upon in the process of memory, in the process of review. Last summer, I had a roommate who stood about 6'4", 200, played basketball, and so I would come in the evening, and I remember the first night this happened. I walked in the room, and he sat on the bed there with a gallon jug of milk between his knees. And then he'd lift up the gallon jug, and he'd take in some milk, and he'd set it down between his knees, and he just had that contented look. Nourishment. He worked on one of the crews, and he also worked on weights for exercise. So he needed more nourishment. You could just see the contentment on his face. But as we meditate upon the Word, it has the nourishment effect upon our Christian life. And Scripture memory can give us this medium for meditation. Through meditation, we can gain understanding of the Word of God. Psalm 119:99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Gaining understanding through meditation on the Word of God. A representative in the Middle East, Waldron Scott, wrote a letter it's been 2 or 3 months ago now, I guess. And he quoted a pastor. A pastor had started memorizing the key text every Sunday morning. And these were the pastor's comments. What was important was that studying the Scriptures long enough to memorize it caused the reading of it to have meaning and vitality. The memorizing was done in odd moments in the week, usually when walking between pastoral calls. The most amazing result to me was the way it forced me to become so much more a biblical preacher. Having lived with the Scripture all week, I had to preach about it on Sunday. But he said when he got up to read that scripture that he was going to preach from, he said it had new meaning and vitality. He had gained understanding as he had meditated on the Word of God. So it has the value of giving us the nourishment, and we really understand it as we meditate on it and run it through our mind. Also, it has the value of causing obedience in our life. I've really seen this in my own life and the lives of others. Joshua 1:8 mentions this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It means sort of chew on it, evidently. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Obedience. Observing to do that is written therein. I played a little bit of varsity tennis at the University of Washington, and we had a real interesting coach. His name was Wendy Langley. And he talked a lot, and usually he had something valuable to say when he talked to you. But he had every man on his team memorize 8 basic things that he wanted them running through their mind the whole time they were on the court. Timing, grip, footwork, be at ease. You get those 4 together. And then he'd say, okay, what's that mean, Ortley? What's that mean, Smith? And run through it. Every time we got together, he'd run through those. Concentration, consistency, tactics, enthusiasm. So when the Washington team would go on the court, so you could see they get out there and the match is starting, you sort of see the gears turning, these 8 things going around their head. And he said, men, do you realize that Bill over here lost the national championship because he didn't obey number 2? He said, remember that. So the men would have to memorize these 8 basic fundamental things that would make their game strong. Why? He wanted obedience to those basic laws. I guess they hadn't lost a match for 42 years or something like that at that time. But he got obedience through memory. And Joshua 1:8 tells us that through memorizing the Word of God, we can see obedience in our life because it's always in the front of our mind. All right, enough for meditation and its value as meditation. How about its value in contributing to victory in our own Christian life? The area of our thought life, Genesis 6:5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts were only evil continually. And that's true to varying degrees. Our minds aren't totally polluted, but we see our past coming through our mind. We see attitudes toward people coming through our mind. I think of 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against Christ, against God. Casting down imaginations. I was talking to a fellow who had been a sailor, and he said, I didn't realize you could really be a victorious Christian. And he said, the verses that got me going? Well, Psalm 119, 9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, when I started memorizing scripture, my whole life started changing. So my mind was occupied with the word of God, and I was a different man. And so this works. As our mind is occupied, then Satan can't come in with his attacks and dig up some of the things in our past, or whatever it might be, an attitude perhaps. How do you get air out of a bucket? Well, a simple way is just to pour some water in. Replacement. Through our Christian life, the Lord desires to replace attitudes and views and all kinds of thoughts and imaginations in our mind. And as we replace it with the Word of God, we see other things being squeezed out until we become a changed person. not only victory over our thought life, but victory over personal traits. I was sitting in a military class and we were talking about road marches. Some of you men know what a road march is. It means you have a whole string of vehicles. You've seen them on the highways where they have their lights on. Well, some man has to sit down and figure out what time they leave and what time they go through a certain city and how far apart and the speed they'll travel and all of this. So that's what we were doing. So I didn't have the answer to this particular question, and he was calling on this man and that man. And so he says, Ortley, what did you get? I jumped up and I said, 11.3, sir. And I thought, why did I say that? I don't have the answer. It just came out my mouth. Just a blatant lie. So I got out of it, and I thought my testimony is shot for sure among those men. But they sympathized with me. And so I went back to where I was living, and I said, Lord, I don't know how that happened, but I don't want to see it happen again. I don't want to be a man who lies. And so I looked through, I believe it was Knave's Topical Bible on lying, and picked out the verse that I thought was the best verse in the Bible on lying. And I came up with Proverbs 12:22. You might need it sometime. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. And I didn't, after that, have any trouble with this particular thing. I haven't, since that day, stood up and see a blatant lie come out my mouth. And I believe it's because there was a verse of Scripture that I started thinking about, went through my mind, and there was a personal trait that was nipped in the bud. Some people memorize one about the tongue. I memorized several on this. Maybe it's anger. I don't know what trait you want to work on. But as we see something come up, we can memorize a verse that will meet a need. It's kind of fun around the Glen to pick up somebody's verse pack and see what kind of verses they're memorizing the last week or two. You can tell a lot about them. Don't ask me, please. So we can see victory over personal traits in our life. Victory over doubts is another area. Ephesians 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The enemy constantly brings doubts. Someone has said when we deal with Satan, we don't argue, we quote a verse of Scripture. We've seen the Lord Jesus do this in Matthew 4, Luke 4, Mark 1, where it tells about His temptation in the wilderness. It is written. It is written. It is written. Why do we have a young Christian memorize 1 John 5:11 and 12? When the enemy comes in with the doubts, then he has an answer. He can quote. He can say, He that hath the Son hath life. I know I have the Son. It eliminates the doubt. And the enemy is very faithful to bring up doubts. And we need a verse of Scripture where we can meet the enemy with that verse. All right, its value then, we've talked about its value in meditation. Talked about its value to us in victory in our own life. Its value in witnessing. This is a tremendous value. I was at a junior high boys camp one summer, and they were memorizing a portion of 1 Corinthians 10. So these little fellows, you know, they'd come up and they'd want to quote their verses, and we'd go through their verses. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 was one that they were quoting one day, and so a little boy sat down and I was reviewing him on this. And the verse says, now all these things happen for our example, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So So he takes off and he says, now all these things happened for our example, and they are written for our ammunition. You know? He understood that. And this is true in personal witnessing, to have the ammunition, the Word of God, right there when we need it. The Word of God which can get into the heart and meet that particular question they have. That's the only way we can speak with authority. It gives us a real boldness. This is a value of Scripture memory. As we have a grasp on these verses, it gives us boldness. Jeremiah decided he wasn't going to witness anymore. Did you know that? And do you know why he couldn't stop? Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah couldn't help but talk about the Lord because he had those verses in his heart. It was just like a fire shut up in there. He couldn't hold it back. It just had to come out when he had the words that he could speak. A while back, I was asked to teach a class on personal evangelism in a little church downtown. And the pastor, he's a gray-haired man, years of experience in the pastorate, and a tremendous pulpit man, but personal witnessing scared him to death. So one of the assignments was to memorize the Beginning with Christ packet, those four verses. And so they came back the next week, and the class was to be on a Tuesday, and I went to church there Sunday, and so he got up and he preached, and he was so excited that day. I wondered what was the matter with this man. He got up there in the pulpit and he's so excited. And he said, I've got to tell you something. He said, Ron back here had us memorize these four verses. He said, I've always been frightened to talk to anybody over at the hospital when I do visitation. He said, I went over there yesterday, and he said, I went up to this man and I led him to Christ using those four verses. And I wasn't frightened at all. He was so excited about it. Tremendous man of the pulpit. But he did not have the boldness to talk to an individual because he wasn't sure he had those verses. He didn't prepare his message, see, to walk up to talk to one person. But he knew he had some kind of an answer. How he used those four verses to lead the man to Christ, I don't know. It gives us skill in our witnessing. Besides boldness, we can see a real skill in our life as we memorize the Word of God. Someone said we should read the Word of God to be a healthy Christian. We should study the Word of God to be an intelligent Christian. Memorize the Word of God to be a skillful Christian. Do you know how to tell how mature a Christian is? There are several tests. But there's a test in Hebrews 5:13 that's very specific. I don't know of another place in Scripture that's more specific as to how we can tell a young Christian from an older Christian. And it doesn't necessarily mean chronological spiritual age. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Unskillful in the word of righteousness. Do we know a verse or two on the second coming of Christ? Do we know some verses on the Holy Spirit? Where would we look for a verse on discipleship? Where would we look for a verse on assurance that we're a Christian? So we start going through and said, wow, I'm not as skillful as I thought. But Scripture memory can put one Christian head and shoulders above another Christian within a year's time. You see one convert who doesn't memorize, a year later, You see another one that's the same spiritual chronological age. A tremendous difference. So to become skillful in the word of righteousness. Also in witnessing, it gives us an adaptability. An adaptability. I always think of how the Lord Jesus handled this. He's on the road to Emmaus. They're walking along in Luke 24 there. And in verse 27, he didn't have any parchments or scrolls. They're just walking along and talking. And it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Adaptability to the situation. Having an answer for every man. Having that exactly what they need on the tip of our tongue. When I was probably in junior high, a couple came to our little community in Montana, and this man was from New York and had come out for his health, and he had been quite successful and was active in finance and investments on Wall Street, and he'd just come out for their health. So my dad, he owned a business in this town, and so they became friends. Well, I grew up and I became a Christian, and my dad had just come back from visiting this couple in New York right after I became a Christian, and Dad wasn't a Christian yet. It was a year after that he accepted the Lord. But I started praying for this couple. Well, 2 years ago, I had a chance to go out to New York, and since then, the man had died. So I prayed I'd get a chance to talk to Mrs. Corson. So I phoned her, and, "Oh, I remember you." And she remembered me about this high, but she remembered me. And so she said, "Let's go out for dinner tonight, and I'd like to hear all about your folks and everything." She's about 60 at that time. So we went out for dinner and had a wonderful talk all evening. And so I said, "Mrs. Corson, maybe later this evening I could tell you some things I've been learning about God and things that have been very practical to me." "Yes, Ron, I'd like to hear about that." So we went back to her very nice Park Avenue apartment and sat down. And so we got to talking about her trip to the Holy Land, and then we got into Scripture. And she had a Bible, and so she was sitting over here on the couch, and I was sitting over here in the chair. And it was unnatural for me to get out my New Testament, but she was able to look up verses in her Bible. So she sat there across the room, and I say, "Now, look in the 5th chapter. That'll be over to the right a little bit." So she'd look up the verses, and we'd go through them. And it was so natural for her to use her Bible, and we talked about the gospel. And so I said, after we had finished, I said, "Mrs. Corson, is there any reason why you shouldn't receive Christ right now?" She had two or three questions, and so we answered them, and I said, "Turn to 1 Peter," and they were all verses that I'd memorized. If I hadn't have memorized those verses, I would have been sunk. I didn't have my Bible where I knew it was on the right-hand page at the bottom and everything. So we answered those questions, and so I asked her again, "Is there any reason why you shouldn't receive Christ right now?" "No." So I said, "Okay, let's do it right now. And here's what you probably pray." And so she slid down on her knees right by the couch there and invited Christ to come into her life and take over. And it was just a thrill to see her come to know Christ. So as we walked over to the door, I was leaving. She said, "See this picture right here?" She said, "That was my mother." I said, "Oh?" I said, "Yes. When she was in the hospital, just before she died, she said, 'I'm praying that you girls will become real Christians.'" Christian mother. And here, 60 years old, and she hadn't found Christ yet. But she said, "I have him now." But what if those verses hadn't been memorized? It would not have been a natural situation. It wouldn't have been so easy and so informal. I wouldn't have had the answers, and I would have to say, "I don't know the answer. Maybe I can write you." But she was ready to receive Christ that night. So memorizing the Word of God and its value to us in meditating upon the Word of God, that we might see real nourishment in our lives, that we might understand it clearly, that we might obey the Word of God and not become just intellectual Christians, but obedient. We might have real victory in our lives, in our thought lives, personal traits in our life. Victory over doubts that the enemy would bring in. And then that in our witness, we would see a boldness. An unashamed freedom of speech that's natural and easy. That will be skillful. And that we'll have the adaptability to be used of God when those unusual opportunities arise. Colossians 3:16, and we're all through. Let the word of God, word of Christ, dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That we might be people who are, the Word of Christ dwells in us richly. And it just overflows in our own life and the lives of others. Father, we thank you for your direction this morning. We thank you for those verses that we do have on our heart and the way you've used them in our own lives and the way you've used a verse occasionally in the life of another. Pray that you'll direct each of us to whatever application we might draw from this time. You know that we're hearing so much this week that we'll only be able to apply one or two things at a time. But through this year, we pray that we will become people who have more of your word in our hearts, more equipped to be useful to you, and a changed people because the word of God dwells richly in our hearts. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.